This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, last Wednesday, just after midday, Leo Varadkar came to the steps outside the Dáil and announced that he was quitting as leader of Fine Gael and, of course, as Taoiseach. It was his turn in this three-party coalition, and he gave a very emotional speech. He was clearly tired, burnt out, perhaps, and his party has had a struggle in the recent past, and he was gone. So who would be the next Taoiseach? We didn't have long to wait, because switching on Morning Ireland the following morning, we could hear Fine Gael TDs of no particular distinction saying they were all going to vote for Simon Harris, the TikTok Taoiseach, as he was called by Fionnuala Sheehan in the Irish Independent. And it's a pleasure to welcome Fionnuala, who's Ireland editor of independent newspapers and one of the very best journalists around or that ever been around. Fionnuala, the TikTok Taoiseach elect, because he won't be confirmed until April 9th. Here's to be a sharp lad. And there was no contest here because he'd been preparing for 2 years and all his stooges stepped up to the plate before he was able to say, gotcha.
Yeah, and the people who came forward to support him were either personally close to him, people like Francis Fitzgerald, who he worked for before he came into politics, so going back nearly 20 years now. That was his first proper job in politics, was as a PA for her when she was leader of the Senate, or some junior ministers and backbenchers. It was probably notable on the day there was no cabinet ministers coming forward initially to back yes. him until, you know, the tide was going that way, and then they all ended up. There was one bizarre situation where Helen McEntee appeared at an event, was specifically asked, well, are you running? She said no, and well, who are you backing? And she gave some nondescript answer, and then within 20 minutes she was on the radio saying she was backing Simon Harris to the hilt and he was the greatest man around. So you were kind of, that was just an indication of, look, this was only going in one direction. It was notable, I suppose, that there was a number of kind of, you know, elder statesmen as well within the party who were not coming forward waving the Simon Harris flag.
Yes.
Maybe holding back to see would Pascal Donoghue step forward. But in the end, you know, the tide was coming his way. He knew from the night before. He had about 20 of the 54 members of the Fine Gael parliamentary party between TDs, senators and MEPs who were going his way. And then as things developed, the bus was leaving and people were quite clear they were going to be on the bus rather than be stuck behind. So he had, once Pascal Donoghue ruled himself out, that was that. It just seems Pascal Donoghue didn't, you know, doesn't seem to have either the appetite or the desire for this role. Up till 2 weeks ago, he was being associated with the, being the head of the IMF based in Washington. So this vacancy then came upon him and there was no indication that he was showing any interest in it. Simon Coveney claimed that he had signaled all along that he wouldn't be running after losing 7 years ago to Leo Varadkar. That was the first anybody heard of it. Helen McAtee had dropped well off the pace, and Heather Humphreys cut a deal to become deputy leader. So that was it, all over and done with. There was some talk of Jennifer Carol McNeill seeking some form of nomination or backing from people. That didn't amount to much. She's a first-time TD and a junior minister, so she was obviously going to have a difficulty against Harris as a third-time TD. So he had it. It was in the bag. It was over before it even started. He was confirmed then on at the weekend. Good blue shirt rally above in Athlone for the European Selection Convention, which they turned into basically a leadership coronation, and he was confirmed there, and there was plenty of raw meat for the Fine Gaelers from that, you know, talking about small business and farming and law and order and standing by the flag and so on, taking back the flag from the provos and all of that. And that was all well and good. But, you know, we're still none the wiser about Simon Harris's overarching vision here. I had somebody from the BBC onto me yesterday saying they wanted to do a deep dive into Simon Harris. What makes him tick? What will his views be on Northern Ireland, yeah, European affairs and the UK? And I said, well, good luck with that, because you won't find anybody in Dublin who's able to answer those questions, because we really don't know. I mean, there's been...
No, and if I can just come to a couple of points that... really, you talked about the big beast. I mean, there aren't many big beasts in Fine Gael, but Pascal Donoghue certainly is someone of real substance who has guided the economy to the comfortable place it's in at the moment. And of course, in this coalition arrangement, he and Michael McGrath have shared the economic portfolios, as it were. But it's fair to say the 10... At the time of Leo Varadkar's announcement, 10 Fine Gael TDs had announced that they weren't standing at the next election, some of them rather young to be thinking of retirement. And indeed, that number might be 11 or 12 at this stage. The party is not in great shape. And the other salient fact, to my eye, Fionnuala, but you know much more than me, is that this man has no record. He was in health. And I looked and researched what he did and didn't do in health, and it's very unattractive and very unappealing. In justice, he did nothing, and his last job, or his current job until he becomes Taoiseach on the 9th of April, is something to do with higher education. And this is a party in trouble with a leader who has no pedigree.
Yeah,
I mean, I put that to you as a question.
There's a question mark at the end of that.
Sorry.
Right. it's not fair to say he does have a record, but he does have a bad record. I mean, you'd have to say his term, you know, he was, when Brian Hayes left for Europe a decade ago, he went in as a junior minister for finance. At that point, under Michael Noonan, so that was grand. He was rolled out to do the announcement that Noonan couldn't be bothered doing. Fine. Then in 2016, Enda Kenny was appointing his cabinet. He was looking at Harris, new young upcoming guy. He was looking to put him into social welfare, which is basically just, you know, managing the payments of decisions that are made by the Minister for Finance. And Varadkar refused to go back into health. He wanted out of health.
Yes.
So Kenny ended up doing a swap. And this has been subsequently confirmed by Kenny's people. Kenny did a swap. He put Harris into health. He put Varadkar into social welfare. And yeah, there's no great record at all there from Simon Harris in health.
There's a few promises that were unfulfilled.
Yeah,
scoliosis, we know, is a terrible affliction that people have to live with. Mm. And we scandalously have not served the people who are suffering very well. He promised to get it fixed in 4 months. Nothing happened.
He promised that within 4 months this ailment of curvature of the spine would be dealt with, that nobody would be waiting longer than that. That didn't happen. There was a continual issue around the winter surge, where basically, quite predictably, in January and February, the weather gets colder, old people get sick, and the hospitals get full. But every year there was a winter plan from him, and he was very concerned about it. But the same thing just kept repeatedly happening. So there was no major solution there. The overrun on the cost of the children's hospital happened on his watch. Cervical cancer scandal happened.
Yes.
Now, I don't think you can directly blame him for it, but he was the minister when the scandal blew up. He was minister, and this is probably the point that tells you a lot about him. He was minister during COVID-19. Now, apart from he was confused about where exactly the title COVID-19 came from.
He thought it was the
19th COVID. Yeah. He didn't exactly excel himself there. I mean, a basic briefing note would have told him that. But he basically was the Minister for Health. He is, I think, or he can be, a good communicator. And during that period, when there was a lot of uncertainty, he did develop a following amongst people who felt that, you know, he was empathetic, and that he was compassionate, and that he was trying to tell people straight what was happening, or at least just keep them informed. And he said afterwards, very simply, it was very telling. He said the decisions that he took at that time were based entirely upon the advice he got from the chief medical officer and Neffet. So basically, he just followed what he was told. So the science guy said, you need to do this. He did that without question. He managed, you know, there was a good relationship with Tony Holland, the chief medical officer at the time, as opposed to when Stephen Donnelly became Minister for Health and had some ideas that he had thoughts of his own. And so Harris just managed that. And he basically just did what he was told. And that's why he probably got out of COVID fairly okay in that regard, because he was just following the science and the advice, as opposed to coming up with any original thoughts for himself. In higher and further education, once Varadkar put him in there, this was a department that was a creation of Micheál Martin's. Micheál Martin wanted a minister for colleges and for further education and apprenticeships and so on. He felt that area was being lost. Simon Harris is put in there. It was seen to be a bit of a demotion, a bit of a backwater inside in government. Varadkar put him in there, but it basically gave him the opportunity to travel the country making announcements,
yes,
developing a network of backbenchers and councillors and so on. He has done some reforms in that area. He's very definitely provided more funding for apprenticeships. He's merged a number of the Institute of Technologies into collective regional universities. He's done some things, but not a whole lot on student accommodation. But, you know, largely speaking, there's nothing amazing there that you will look back in 20 years' time and go, oh my God, this man was a latter-day Dun O'Malley. So, yeah, we're still...
Just to give some context to it, to find out where he might be on the political spectrum, Peter Burke, and this is something I learned from reading your piece about his coronation as leader of Fine Gael at the weekend. Peter Burke, who is a junior minister and was first out, or one of the first out to support him and may expect a reward, he said, Simon Harris is a man of the progressive centre. That's a quote from a Fionn Sheehan column.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Enlighten us, exactly. What is the progressive centre? I could make the argument, but I wouldn't want to.
Yeah, I mean, the progressive centre can basically mean whatever you want
anything
to be, basically, that you're in favour of progress and you're in the centre. You're not left and you're not right. I mean, was Bertie Ahern not, therefore, of the progressive centre?
Yes.
Enda Kenny, Gard Fitzgerald, you know, what could Leo Varadkar claim? He was ultimately became centrist. He was very often described as right wing, but he tended to be more, very definitely socially liberal, and in some of his actions as well, you could argue he was the center. So, you know, Micheál Martin is the progressive center as well.
Yes.
So it's kind of a meaningless kind of phrase to say, well, look, he's in favor of progress, be it social or economic progress, but he's not exactly pinned downable in terms of an actual political ideology. Yes, he's not of the left. Yes, he's not of the right. But he's swayable, I suppose, in either direction. Over the, and Simon Harris has gone on a political journey, as they say. This is a guy who started out as a teenager in Fianna Fáil, canvassing with Dick Roach down in Wicklow up until the 2002. Then in the following year or two, he switched over to Fine Gael. A cousin of his was John Bailey and Maria Bailey. They were running for Fine Gael. He was active with them, and then he got involved directly himself. But in his early days as a TD, he was a quite firm conservative pro-lifer. Yes. He had signed pledges that he would be opposed to any liberalisation of the abortion laws. When the then Health Minister, James Riley, was teeing up that there would be legislation coming down that route, and of course, subsequently a referendum, Simon Harris was one of the TDs who was threatening to vote against the party, vote against government, and would have lost the party whip and been kicked out of Fine Gael if he had done that. But that was how far he was willing to go. Then he switched over completely and was basically pro-choice, and was ultimately the minister who introduced abortion liberalisation legislation after the referendum, in which he was a very strong campaigner. So Simon Harris will change positions. There is no question about that.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Now, even in today's papers, there are leaks about what Fine Gael want in terms of more help for small businesses, more tax breaks, and it's different in every paper. It's quite a long list of action required. They're clearly inspired from the one source. But this is a three-party coalition government. Michael McGrath and Pascal Donoghue are responsible. Michael McGrath is the Minister of Finance, and they're jointly responsible for those kinds of decisions. This appears to be a solo run. Is this going to be a problem? I mean, you've got a very experienced Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, whose turn as Taoiseach in this three-party coalition has passed. Hence, we will have a new Taoiseach next week. He's got a year, in theory, until they must go back to the electorate. But this leaking to put pressure perhaps on Michael McGrath in particular, who's a Fianna Fáiler, but also on Pascal Donoghue, who has a sterling record and is president of the Eurogroup of finance ministers, therefore highly thought of wherever he operates. Could that cause major problems? So you have to grow up in that respect.
Yeah, so these are demands from within Fine Gael now that they've got the fire back in their bellies and they've got rid of Radcorn, they've got their man in and they're going to take on the dastardly Fianna Fáilers and silence the Greens. But, you know, that's all very nice in their own heads, but there's a different matter of this is a coalition government. And it does go back to, well, what exactly changes here? I mean, ultimately, Fine Gael have got the same six cabinet portfolios as they had under Leo Varadkar. Housing and health remain under Fianna Fáil, and climate and transport remain under the Green Party. So they can't start rewriting the program for government. It's highly unlikely that guys like Michael McGrath and Pascal Donoghue are going to suddenly start saying, oh yeah, that's grand, should we just rip up last year's budget and we'll just start all over again? Because once you go down that route, well, where exactly do you stop? Do you, you know, so suddenly VAT comes in and you want extra allowances for this and extra grants there. So it is going to become a difficulty if Harris starts pushing that agenda that he wants changes to budgets, because we saw over in the UK, you know, business may want supports, but they don't necessarily want supports at the cost of economic stability and knowing what exactly is coming down the track. And there's going to be a lot of changes anyway in the next 12 months in Ireland, because we have got a general election. So what coming up? So what you don't want to do is start making decisions that cause some form of stagnation, that cause people to start pulling back. And uncertainty does do that. Suddenly businesses don't go ahead with that extra spending or borrowing that they were about to undertake. They don't start bringing in extra jobs. They say, let's hold off. And a symptom of that is when the business community doesn't know what government is going to do. The notion that putting, you know, more money into an economy where inflation is only just coming under control is a bit deluded, really. So you'd imagine that the wiser heads like Michael McGrath and Pascal Donoghue will have to sit down and explain that one to them.
The party in general is not faring well. It's fair to say that, isn't it, Finan, with that number of TDs who have decided not to stand again, and you know, the new recruits seem thin on the ground.
Well, very often, I mean, when you look at, you take the map out and you look at, like, who's going to replace who, it's not as bad as would be made out. Yes, you're going to have a lot of new candidates in the field, but ultimately, if you're solid enough in the constituency, and the national swing is fortunate enough to you're kind of okay. I mean, Sinn Féin showed the last time that they'd candidates who nobody had ever heard of, even at a local level, and they still got elected as TDs. But yeah, Fine Gael, worst general election in 75 years last time, looking at a tough time in the current local and European elections, won 5 seats in Europe last time. That'll be down to 3. Maybe they have a fighting chance for a 4th, but that will still be looked at as a reduction. Maybe there's a salvage operation there. Then they, on the European, the local elections, they won an extra 20 seats last time, but it wasn't seen to be any big Leo Varadkar style bounce at the time. And then they have all these resignations, which were literally been happening on a weekly basis. They're at 11 at the moment. Varadkar is probably 12, and there's a couple of more that are potentials down the track as well. And in a couple of cases, the party don't necessarily have any ready-made replacements. There is people like veteran Charity Flanagan, who is retiring, but they have got
Kate O'Connell solicitor
and candidate there. Kate O'Connell is back in the frame.
Yes.
Fine Gael had 2 seats going into the last general election in Dublin Bay South, the old stomping ground of Garrett Fitzgerald. They lost one of those seats narrowly enough at the last election, Kate O'Connell losing out. Then Owen Murphy leaves a year later. They go into a by-election and they lose that. So they've no seat currently. So you'd imagine there would be a Fine Gael seat there. Simon Harris was director of elections for that election. So he will be very familiar with that constituency. And he has decided that he wants Kate O'Connell back on the ticket with the existing candidate, James Gagan. So it clearly he is of the view, if we're going to win a seat here, we need to have her on the ticket there as well. He's got problem spots around the country. Donegal is a big problem for them. Kerry is a big problem for him. He's talking about bringing Brendan Griffin back out of retirement. Brendan's only in his early 40s.
So 42.
It's not beyond the bound of possibilities.
He seemed to suggest on the questioning yesterday that he might reconsider if there was a ministry on offer.
Yeah, the view basically is he turned down a junior ministry 18 months ago from Leo Varadkar, but if a cabinet ministry is on the table, he might look deep into his soul and have a rethink. There's other spots across the country where basically, candidates will come and candidates will go and you'll just have to deal with it. I mean, a general election is about 40 different elections. It's not all just the national swing is the national swing, but each constituency has to be taken on its own individual merits. David Stanton, for example, long-serving TD in East Cork, is standing down, but there's four people there and potentially a fifth who can replace him on the ticket, and the party shouldn't have any problem holding on to that seat. So it's probably not as dire as it looks, but it does paint a picture about Fine Gael that people are jumping ship. Some of them are retiring before they're of the age when you would expect them to do so. But nonetheless, if you're a political party, you should always be expecting there'll be vacancies and you're going to have to fill them.
Just a final question, Fionnán. Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin appear to have had a good relationship and trust was built up. Micheál Martin now has to deal with this lad who's a bit of a tricky dicky. He needs to learn, does he, how to respect Micheál Martin and, cooperate, because a three-party coalition is not easy to keep together.
Yeah, but he is not just the leader of a party. I mean, Simon Harris, you can say he'll be good for Fine Gael, but what about the rest of the country? He's going to have to build up a trusting relationship with Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan. They won't want to get the sense that he's just kind of trying to undercut them or trying to cause rows or anything like that. It doesn't help the situation with Fine Gael.
But operators tend not to change their stripes.
No, they don't. And you would have to say, it was telling to not have senior cabinet ministers coming out initially backing Simon Harris.
Yeah.
Told its own story about what his peers think of him. Simon Harris would not have been the choice of Leo Varadkar to become his successor, simple as that. But very often, a leader doesn't get to pick who's coming after him. So there will be, and look, Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan will be aware of this. They have served in cabinet with him for the last 4 years, so they'll be well aware of what's coming at them.
And a final point, it's a point you made in the Irish Independent. Mary Lou MacDonald will have to take a new tack, because she shares something with Simon Harris. She started out in Fianna Fáil. He started out in Fianna Fáil.
Yeah, they probably missed each other by about 6 months. But yeah, she was there in Fianna Fáil, although people in Sinn Féin seem to forget this because they were criticising that Simon Harris had switched from Fianna Fáil into Fine Gael. Yes. But then you remember Mary Lou switched from Fianna Fáil into Sinn Féin, albeit for different reasons, but nonetheless, both started out there. She had a patter defined about the manner in which she portrayed Leo Varadkar as kind of privilege and out of touch and not really aware of the ordinary problems of people on a daily basis. Harris will be slightly different. He'll be able to turn around and say, "Well, look, I'm the son of a taxi driver from a commuter belt town." There's a different perspective there, so she won't be as easily able to pigeonhole Simon Harris as she was with Leo Varadkar.
Right.
But nonetheless, you are looking at, she'd be looking at them going, "You've just changed leader. You're still the same party. You're still pursuing the same policies. You're still on your third term in government. So you might have changed at the top, but nothing else changes below that."
Okay. Fionnán, as always, we're very grateful to you indeed. Fionnán Sheehan is Ireland editor of independent newspapers, and his columns are really, his journalism generally is superb, but the columns can be very amusing and cutting. And we wouldn't want that to stop. We're grateful to Fanon, to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.